The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please have a seat. After years in the church and school plays and all kinds of things like that, we've all sat through a lot of children's concerts. And when you see a group of kids singing, there's always those same types of kids. You have the good kids, the kids that do exactly what the teacher says, and they smile and they sing the words and they do the right hand motions. And then you always have one or two, they're probably Boswells, who are too shy to do anything, and they're just there, and they don't open their mouths, or they're just kind of... And then you have one kid that is just so full of joy that maybe they do everything wrong, but they're just happy up there. They're just full. They just shine. Maybe their hands are going wrong. Maybe they're not singing. Maybe they're tone deaf, but they're just joyful. And I have a feeling that that's what Mary of Bethany was like. I get that feel from her, that she was a person of joy and of exuberance. This was Mary, just to be clear, who was the sister of Lazarus, as we said, who was raised from the dead. And there's a lot of Marys. This is not Mary Magdalene, not Mary the mother of Jesus. The story that we just read happened 6 days before the Passover, when Jesus ate his last supper with his disciples, the Passover when he was arrested. And it was on this day, 6 days before that time, that Mary performed this exuberant act of worship and of love for Jesus. There's real biblical precedent for exuberant worship. Remember David, he was called the man after God's own heart. Even though he sinned big time, he had a heart that God loved. And when there's a story when the Ark of the Covenant was being carried into Jerusalem, it says, even though he was a king, he danced before the Lord with all his might. And he was so exuberant that his wife, looking down at him out of the window, was embarrassed, said she was filled with contempt for him. But he didn't care what anybody thought. He was just full of joy. And then there's Peter. He's always exuberant. And he's the man that God built his church upon. And he was all exuberant. He was always full of heart. He was never dignified. And so that after the resurrection, when they were out in the boat and John recognized Jesus on the shore, Peter just jumped into the water in the middle of hauling in this big catch of fish and swam to shore because he couldn't wait a second to be with Jesus. Exuberance is a biblical thing. And this exuberant Mary of Bethany is a wonderful example to us today. When we talk about the story of Mary and Martha, and we've all heard that story so many times, I think we usually think of her as the quiet one. She's the passive one. She's the one that sat, and Martha's the doer. But if we look at her carefully, every time we see Mary, she's defying convention. She sat at Jesus' feet when everything in the culture around her expected her, demanded that she bustle around and get dinner. She let her hair down in the middle of a dinner party with lots of men around. That was not the done thing. And she went out and she bought this incredibly expensive perfume. I don't even know how she got enough money to do that. This perfume was worth a year's wages. I looked up the average wage of a farm worker in the United States right now, and it's about $16,000 a year. So we might say that this little bottle of perfume that she carried in probably cost something like $15,000-$16,000. It was something very special. It's called Nard, and it's in the valerian family. I don't know if you've heard of that, but it's a sedative. It's a strong, aromatic plant. And when it's crushed and distilled, it makes this amber-colored, thick, essential oil. It's very, very fragrant. You can't even imagine what it was like when this whole pound of it was opened up in the house and poured out. And one really interesting thing about it is it was also part of the incense that was used in worship for in the temple in Jerusalem. It was really special stuff, and Mary went out and bought a bottle of it. So a pretty exuberant thing to do. But Judas wondered why such a valuable thing wasn't sold to benefit the poor. Imagine what $16,000 could do to feed people. But instead, what Mary did is she washed Jesus' feet with it, and she dried them with her own unbound hair. We read in Matthew and in Luke that 4 days later, just 2 days before the Passover, Mary's at another dinner. It's a dinner at the home of Simon, who used to be a leper. It's in Bethany as well. And I just think it's so cool, these dinner parties. Think of the guests, a man who used to have leprosy, a man who used to be dead in the tomb. These were very special dinner parties. And Mary came in, and she had that bottle of nard again, and she broke it, and she poured every last drop on Jesus' head to anoint him. It was such an outflowing of love for him. And at that dinner party, Mark tells us that they scolded her harshly, not just Judas, but everybody. What are you doing? This is so wasteful. And Jesus said, leave her alone. She's done a beautiful thing to me. In pouring this ointment on my body, she's prepared it for burial. And then he said, I tell you the truth, wherever the good news will be preached throughout the world, this woman's deed will be remembered and it will be discussed. We Episcopalians like to worship in sensible ways. We like to be dignified. But Mary and David and Peter like to remind us that worship is love, and love is not a sensible or dignified thing. It isn't measured. It's not careful. It doesn't hold back. That doesn't mean that we have to be loud or rambunctious. We don't have to be like, what was it? There was a church across the street from us, Martin's Temple in St. Louis. We were in the inner city, and our church was very staid, and across the street from us, the pavement was shaking. We don't have to be like that. But we have to be wholehearted. Mary was quiet, but she was wholehearted. She held nothing back. She didn't worry about her reputation. She didn't worry about what people expected from her. When Martha complained to Jesus, tell that sister of mine to help me get dinner on the table, Jesus just said, Mary has chosen the good part that will not be taken from her. And can you even think what a radical thing that was? How radical a person this quiet Mary of Bethany was. In that time and place when a woman's role was so narrowly circumscribed, just kitchen, basically, and children, she put herself in the traditional role of sitting at the rabbi's feet. That was for men. Men sat around and listened to the rabbi. Women didn't do that. She wore her hair down in a public place with no shame. She went out and bought this exotic perfume, something of immense value, and then she poured it out in this extravagant display of love. And there are just a handful of people in the Bible that understood that one thing that's necessary: love God with all their soul, with all their heart, with all their mind, with all their strength. And Mary of Bethany is one of them. She reminds us that there's nothing else we need to do. There's nothing else we need to worry about. There's nothing else we need to be or accomplish or satisfy but to love exuberantly, fearlessly, holding nothing back, to love God with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our mind and with all our strength. Amen.